And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning and welcome to the House of Wellness. It is lovely to be here on this Sunday morning with you. We're here to help you get well, stay well, live well and look fabulous. I'm Jo Stanley and I'm always overjoyed to be joined by medical herbalist and pharmacist Gerald Quigley. Good morning.
Good morning, Jo. And who else do we have?
We have the very inspirational Sally Obermeter. Good morning.
Hi, guys. Happy Sunday, everybody.
Thanks, oh, a big happy Sunday. Now, this week was Natural Medicines Week, which is all about raising awareness of the important role natural medicine practitioners play in the health and well-being of Australians. So when we think of natural or traditional therapies, we're talking everything from acupuncture to chiropractors, from homeopathy to naturopathy to osteopaths, remedial massage. There's so many modalities that really make a difference to our health and well-being. Sal, do you have a favourite?
I'm big on acupuncture. I do really love it. I've used it quite a few times in my life at different points. I used it in conjunction with my IVF when I was trying to have a baby. I used it also a lot when I was doing my chemotherapy because of it helped on particular days in my chemotherapy cycle when the pain was quite extreme. It just slightly helped take the edge off in a way that I couldn't get anything else to. So, yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yes, I have loved acupuncture myself over the years, also when I was going through fertility treatment actually, Sal. So, yeah, it's glorious. Gerald, you, of course, you're a wealth of knowledge when it comes to natural medicine.
Well, Jo, you did mention herbal medicine, which goes back way, way, way beyond most of our histories. But what is puzzling is that we still, in spite of, what did you say, 68% of Australians who use some sort of complementary medicines, and I think that actually that percentage is higher, there is still a fear that you can't talk about that with your GP. And that is a great concern to me. And I have a friend of mine who did some research on that. And when people were asked, why didn't you speak to your doctor about your particular acupuncture treatment or your yoga treatment, the response was, well, I wasn't asked.
Yes, and perhaps a fear that you would be ridiculed or dismissed.
And we need to get over that.
We do. So later on in the show, we'll learn more about the natural medicines available to us. Also later on, H2Z Vitamins is back with Austalin Vitamin D. Important to consider our vitamin D intake as we head into the cooler months, so we'll be learning more about that. But first up, we're going to talk about migraine. Nearly 5 million people in Australia suffer from migraines. 71% of migraine sufferers are women and 86% are of working age, and we'll find out what is the difference between a regular headache and a migraine. I feel very fortunate that I've never experienced migraine. Sal, I don't know about you.
No, I do get them not often, but probably maybe I would say 2 or 3 times a year, seemingly out of the blue. And when I get them, that's it. That's it for the day.
What's the trigger, Sal?
I don't know.
Marcus.
It's one of I find he's a trigger for most of my situations, so yes, probably. I don't know if it's I'm just tired or I'm run down, but I seem to feel like when they happen to me, they come. To me, it feels out of the blue because it's not as though I get a headache that progresses to a migraine. It's sort of like I feel kind of okay, and then that's it. The next day, I'll wake up, and everything's too bright, too loud, and it passes pretty quickly. I am fortunate, you know, within the day it's generally gone, and like I said, it's only a few times a year, but wow, don't you feel completely like there's nothing else you can do when you have a migraine but wait for it to pass?
It is most definitely, I know from the people in my life who experience migraines, it's completely debilitating, and the only thing you can do is go to bed, essentially.
There's nothing else.
Well, we're going to learn what causes them and the best treatment when we speak with neurologist Dr. Kate Ahmad in just a moment. As always, we'd love to hear from you, 131 873. Perhaps if you are someone who suffers from migraines, you could give us a call with a question or two. If you want any kind of support for your health today, do give us a call. Perhaps you struggle with other painful conditions that you'd like relief for. 131 873. But coming up, is there relief for your debilitating migraines? That'll be next on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Help support your infant's bone health and development with Austolin Infant Vitamin D3 drops from Chemist Warehouse. Vitamin D3 is important for bone strength and helps to promote calcium absorption. Always read the label, follow the directions for use. Vitamin supplements may only be of assistance if dietary intake is inadequate. Austolin Infant Vitamin D3 drops are now $11.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Seeing a GP just got easier with instant consult. Request a consult and connect with an Australian doctor in minutes. Download the app today.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. We're here to take your calls, 131 873, with your questions for your health. Perhaps it is with regard to migraine this morning, because nearly 5 million people in Australia suffer from migraine. And I do wonder whether that has been on the increase lately, perhaps because we're spending a lot more time looking at the screen, maybe in isolation. To help us understand what a migraine is, we're joined by neurologist Dr. Kate Ahmad. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
Firstly, can you tell us the difference between a migraine and a headache?
Well, a headache is essentially any pain in the head, which can have any underlying cause. A migraine is actually a syndrome of which headache is just one part. So with a migraine, you'll get a whole lot of other symptoms, including the headache usually. So you might get nausea or vomiting. You might get a visual aura that some people experience. You often get light and sound sensitivity, fatigue. But the headache is really only one part of it. And migraines happen over and over again. So a headache obviously can be a one-off. A migraine will be something that happens more than once.
So, Kate, we were just saying earlier, I said how I get migraines, and Ajik, you said to me, what triggers them? And I said, I don't know. They seem to sort of seemingly come out of nowhere. Are there known triggers for migraines, and what are they?
Yeah, there are. One of the big ones, especially for women, is the menstrual cycle. So many women will get migraines around the time of their period, which is obviously very disruptive. Other triggers are less able to be predicted, but things like dehydration or hunger can trigger a migraine. Stress is a big trigger, but sometimes the relief of stress and a change in your sleeping, so the weekend, can be a trigger. So some unfortunate people actually get their migraines when they go on holiday or on the weekend. Alcohol, some foods, there's lots of different ones, and they're probably different for every person.
Kate, when you consider that some of the symptoms of migraine, particularly the one with aura, mimic what might be a TIA or one of those early strokes, how do we tell the difference? At what stage do we act and think, yes, it's one or the other, particularly the latter?
It can be very difficult, especially in the older population. So if you're a young person with migraine and you get a fairly typical set of symptoms, usually you'll be fairly confident in knowing that it's just your usual migraine. In older people, they often tend to get more of the non-headache type symptoms, which can look more like stroke, so the visual disturbance, speech disturbance. And what we usually say is that if it feels different or if it's worse than usual, then you should seek medical attention. And if you're worried at all and you don't feel comfortable, then you should seek medical attention. Because obviously stroke has completely different treatments which can prevent permanent disability, so we never want to miss that diagnosis.
Sure. Kate, I have very vivid memories of my mum taking to her bed in a dark room when I was growing up with her migraines. Are there treatments available to us now that can make it a little less debilitating and maybe that we can get on with our day, or no, we just have to hand over to the moment?
Hopefully not. We have two types of treatment for migraines. So one is the acute treatment. So you take that when you get the symptoms. And the earlier you take your treatment, the better. Because if you let the migraine establish itself, it's harder to treat. But they can be simple things like paracetamol, ibuprofen, or migraine-specific treatments like triptans. But then if you're getting more than, you know, say, 4 headaches a month, then you might need a preventative agent. And there's a whole lot of different types that we can use. Some of them are older medications. They're antidepressants and anti-epileptics that we use for prevention of headaches. But there's also some really exciting new treatments. So we use Botox now to prevent migraine, and that's going to work really well. And then there's a whole new class of antibodies that target a specific peptide that's thought to be released during migraine, and that's a once-a-month injectable treatment. So there's lots of new things happening, and if you're getting regular headaches, you should definitely see your doctor because there's lots of things we can offer.
Okay, do migraines tend to run in families?
Yes, they do. So often we'll see a strong family history. One parent often has them. You're not doomed if a parent has it to get it yourself, but it's much more likely. At the same time, you can have them without any family history as well.
We're speaking with Dr. Kate Ahmad, neurologist and specialist in migraines. Kate, we have got Jill in Hillside on the phone. Jill, tell us your perspective of migraines.
Yes, my migraine started when I was about 8 years old and went right up until I was 45. And one of the doctors said when I got menopause, they'd be worse or they'd stop, and they stopped. But I spent many, many years in bed with my mother blocking out, sticking the blinds up with sticky tape. So you try to look for light all the time. And there were several foods I could never eat sweets. When we went to a party as a child, mum would give me something with peanut butter and steak. And the kids, all the kids had the Christmas birthday cake, etc.
Oh. That's
the painful thing I've ever known.
Yes, but is that common, Kate, for the migraines to go away once you hit menopause?
It is, actually. So they usually tend to be a problem of childhood and younger adult life, though some people stop getting the headaches around menopause or midlife, and then they get other funny symptoms like their visual aura later in life, so that can be a bit tricky. But that's a pretty common story.
Interesting. And Roma in Kingsford, good morning. You also are a sufferer of migraines?
I get optical, what they call optical migraine, and it's not a pain. You see light. You see coloured light outside of, it's not, doesn't interfere with your vision, but you can see them around you. And I spoke to Dr. Rush a couple of years ago about optical. And I was speaking to a lot of people, and he said, you probably know what brings these on. He said, it could be something you eat, it could be chocolate, it could be whatever. And I said, yes, I feel that when I get them, and it runs through the family, I get them when things, I'm not a controlling person, hopefully, I think I'm not. but when there is so much going on, and you can't really do anything about, you've tried all your best with other ways, and then it's out of your hands, well, that's when I seem to get them.
So, Kate, that's sounding like Roma's migraines are induced by stress. Is that common?
Yes, very common, yep. And also stress is hard because it's difficult to avoid, so it's not like not eating chocolate or something. Everyone has stress at some point, but yep, very common.
Kate, what about migraines in children? Because I know generally women tend to have more migraines when they're adults than men, but in children, do boys have more migraine than girls?
Oh, actually, off the top of my head, I don't know the answer to that. About 10% of kids do get migraine, and they tend to be a little bit different to adults' migraines. Mm-hmm. They can be often a bit quicker. Children often vomit. They sometimes at the back of the head rather than on one side. Mm. And kids often get a thing called abdominal migraine where they get a lot of gastrointestinal type symptoms with their headache. But yeah, I'm not sure if boys get more migraines than girls.
Okay.
And Kate, is there a bit of a lack of understanding from those who don't get migraines? And is that an important place to start in helping migraine sufferers, is actually the understanding?
Yes, I think so, because untreated migraine is absolutely debilitating. So I think that in the general community there's a perception that migraine is just a headache and it shouldn't stop you from attending work or school, and it's not a true disability. But untreated migraine is associated with, you know, higher rates of depression and anxiety. It does stop you attending work and school. It significantly interferes with your cognitive function, so your thinking and your memory and your ability to actually do your job. So I think first recognising that it's a serious illness that really needs specialist treatment, is important. And people that go home with a migraine are not faking it or trying to get out of work. They really need to go home and rest.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for that wonderful piece of advice for all of us, I think. Thank you, Dr. Kate Ahmed. We'll have more of your calls next on The House of Wellness.
You're listening to The House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Help support your infant's bone health and development with Austolin Infant Vitamin D3 drops from Chemist Warehouse. Important for bone strength and helps to promote calcium absorption. Always read the label, follow the directions for use. Vitamin supplements may only be of assistance if dietary intake is inadequate. Austolin Infant Vitamin D3 drops are now $11.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Seeing a GP just got easier with instant consult. Request a consult and connect with an Australian doctor in minutes. Download the app today.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. I'm Joe Stanley, and with me is Gerald Quigley and Sally Obermeter, and we are here thanks to Chemist Warehouse. 131 873 is our number. We'd love you to give us a call. Henry in Penrith, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, look, when I was a teenager up until I was in my late 20s, I had severe migraines. I'd get flickering in the eyes, opaque vision, and then I'd be massive headaches for, and I'd be ill for a couple of days. Well, after that, they went about 30-odd years went by, and I've gone away. Then I got the same symptoms again, flickering in the eyes. But instead of the headache, I got memory loss. Like, I couldn't even remember my wife's name.
Oh. This was during the attacks, Henry, that you had memory loss, was it?
Sorry?
During the attacks, you tended to have memory loss?
Well, after the flickering and all the same symptoms I had in my youth came back, but instead of the headache, I had this absolute total memory loss. It lasts about half an hour.
Okay.
No headache.
So it's a sort of amnesia. Here.
2 years ago, and it's... Yeah. Happens in little patches. Sometimes I have three in a month, and I don't have any for six months. Then they'll come back again.
And as Dr. Kate was saying, this is part of the challenge of migraines, that there are so many different variations of the same thing. The comforting thing from your perspective is it's temporary. It's not permanent. I think you're very brave not being able to remember your wife's name. I'm just wondering how long I would last. but on a more serious side, yes. Henry, you look at obviously the things to help your brain. So omega-3 essential fatty acids, really important. Lots of exercise, lots of sunshine for vitamin D levels. Mm. And let's hope that that just does not revert into anything more serious, but at least you know what's going on and you're managing it.
Mm, all the best with that, Henry. It must be quite terrifying. Mm. Diane in Watson's Bay, good morning.
Hello, Diane.
Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call.
How can we help?
Look, I've got this dreadful osteoarthritis in the spine and I have trouble sleeping, and just the blanket is just feels, you know, I just have to throw the blankets off, and now that it's winter... But I've been everywhere, done everything, and now I'm with a chiropractor. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I'm getting much joy.
And he or she is just using structural work to try and improve things, Diane?
That's right, yes.
Look, could you please, if you're seeing already a practitioner, could you discuss things like high-dose turmeric, high-dose fish oil, and magnesium to take the tension out of your joints, to use that in combination with your structural work. It seems pretty reasonable, and I'm sure he or she will be happy to discuss those things with you and give you specific recommendations.
And all the best with that, Diane, because there are many, many natural medicines or therapies that you might explore, because it has been Natural Medicines Week, which wraps up today. So we're exploring this. Natural therapies are a legitimate and for many a crucial link to preventative health and wellbeing management. In Australia, 68% of us have used at least one complementary medicine in the last 12 months. So we thought, what a great time to find out what natural and traditional medicines are and how they can improve our life. Christine Pope is the director of the Australian Traditional Medicine Society and joins us. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm very well, and I wonder, because natural medicine is a very broad-reaching heading, so what kinds of therapy and treatments fall under this banner?
Well, when we're promoting Natural Medicine Week, we tend to break it down into three areas because it just makes it a little bit easier to get your head around what's going on. So we We look at body work, which is things like the chiropractic you just mentioned, massage, that sort of treatment. We also look at what I would call ingestive therapies, so, you know, things like things you actually take in, vitamins, minerals, herbs, homeopathics, and Chinese medicine, which can include things like needling with acupuncture as well as Chinese herbs. So we look at it in those sort of three areas, and I think, you know, when you're looking at what sort of therapy can help, I like what Gerald said there to the woman with osteoarthritis. You know, she was having some body work done, but it's also look at what you're doing with your diet and your supplements, because each therapy contributes to the overall improvement. And, you know, it might only be 17-20%, but which 17 or 20% would you like to miss out on in terms of improving your health?
It's actually a decent improvement. It's a decent jump. When you don't feel well, you'll take anything, exactly. Right? That's actually great. Why do you think it is, Christine, that more and more of us are turning to these types of treatments and medicines?
Well, I think there's a few reasons. I mean, one of the big pieces of research they did said a lot of people are like, 11 million Australians suffer from some form of chronic disease, and they use natural medicine to either manage their side effects of treatment, reduce their symptoms, or because they can't tolerate the prescribed medication. I've also got a bit of a theory that a lot more women will use natural medicine, because a lot of the research that was done probably more than 10, 15 years ago tend to focus on men and didn't include women in the studies. So often we're the ones who have more side effects, or treatment are not well tailored for our particular physiology because of our, you know, so-called pesky hormones. And I, you know, but I do think it does make a difference if you've got someone who actually understands that and actually listens to you about it.
Christine, and look, so true, and I'm sure in your practice, as I do in mine, it's often the women who ask questions while they're there. Look, my husband's got A, B, and C.
Yes.
because blokes are so notoriously pathetic at trying to look after themselves. Do you think the day will ever come when there will be much more respect between all the modalities? That includes the medical modality as well. Will that day ever come, bearing in mind that all of our trainings say, don't they, that the human body strives to be as well as it possibly can most of the time. Give it the tools and it will restore. So that means there's got to be a lot more respect between not just the complementary modalities, and I think there is a fair bit there, but between the medical modality as well.
Look, I think it's already happening in some areas. There are already integrative GPs who work across the range. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting in our area. I've been in practice on the North Shore for about 15 years, and I find the doctors around here are quite considered and will encourage their clients to, you know, they won't discourage their clients from trying natural medicine. But, you know, it is interesting from when you see, you know, on the other side of it, you see a lot of articles which are very, there's always something that comes out that isn't very complimentary about natural medicine.
But there's vested interest, though, there, usually, isn't there?
Well, exactly. And, you know, I think the thing is, if there are things that are working well, you always need to look at the study and see if it was relevant to you. But I do think that a lot of younger doctors particularly are being a bit more open-minded about what can work for people. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's pretty hard to turn around and say diet, exercise and lifestyle isn't going to help you feel better.
Of course.
Yes. And it should be all about the patient anyway, shouldn't it?
Christine?
Well, it should be about the patient and their preferences, ultimately.
And what advice can you give someone who knows that they are wanting to seek help through all of these different modalities, but they just don't know where to go because it's so confusing? There's so many options out there.
Well, we did put the Natural Medicine Week website out there, which explains all the modalities, so you can actually have a look on there and see what would work for you. But I think also think about what sort of things do work for you. Like, do you find when you've been on a healthier diet, you have felt a lot better? Mm. Then maybe a nutritionist would be a good start. If you find that, you know, it's a lot of body aches and pains that are an issue, maybe you should be looking more at massage or chiropractic or osteopathy. I mean, I often, when we have people come into our clinic with, you know, the migraines like that guy was talking about, I always get them to see our osteopath first. Make sure there's nothing structural going on. And, you know, then they can work with a massage therapist or a naturopath to see how they can help work across the range.
Wonderful.
So, you know, they're not just looking at one thing that they're doing that they've changed, but might be two or three.
Great. Thank you so much, Christine Pope, Director of the Australian Traditional Medicine Society. And we do encourage you to seek help in many different ways because there's lots available to us in this country. We'll have more of your calls next. Plus, Gerald, you have some very important information for us with regard to cancer screening during COVID-19. That's next on the House of Wellness.
Wellness thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Seeing a GP just got easier with instant consult. Request a consult and connect with an Australian doctor in minutes. Download the app today.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. We're reaching you in Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide and Perth. And of course, we would love you to give us a call on 131 873. But first, Gerald, you have a very important message for us.
I do, Joe, because over the last few months where everything has changed, there's been really a dramatic drop off of radiology and screening. And this isn't a time to neglect little problems. So if you've got a lump in your breast or blood in the urine or a spot that's grown quickly or something that's bleeding unnecessarily, go and get it checked out. And the message that the Cancer Council's saying is it is safe to get medical care and they are open for business. And Cancer Council 131120 1311 20, if you've got a question, don't hesitate to fire that question off to them. Don't ignore symptoms.
Right. Don't neglect your health just because we've been told to isolate.
Yes.
Absolutely important. So thank you for that reminder, Gerald. 131873 with your calls. Amanda in Miranda. Good morning.
Hello, Amanda.
Good morning. I would like to ask a question about medical cannabis
for
chronic pain sufferers.
Uh-huh.
It's not for myself, but I live with a lovely husband who since he just turned 60, but since his since probably late 30s, he had an injury which he suffered on his back. Mm-hmm. And he's had exacerbations over the years, and then he had a major exacerbation again in 2017.
Sure.
And he's on a roller coaster of, you know, the North Span patches,
yes.
Panadine Forte,
yes.
Lyrica. And we've had a very, you know, good doctor who has seen him for over 20 years because he's had other injuries too.
Sure.
And then because they moved, we still see that doctor, but we have a new doctor for the last few years. And every time we, you know, bring up kind of medical cannabis.
Yes. There's a hesitancy.
They say, perhaps. Oh, no, we'll see how this goes and this goes. He's done, pain management at St. George Hospital and it's just the Lyrica sends him, he had to go off the Lyrica because it just sends him really
Amanda,
crazy.
It is a very common problem. And the story on medicinal cannabis is, watch this space. It is moving at a great rate of knots. The trouble is there's a lot of sensational reporting without the evidence to back it up. I hope in time common sense will prevail. It will move out of this political influence sphere into the patient influence sphere and we will get some responses. So just watch this space.
Is it available in Australia?
For certain conditions, by approved medical practitioners. So they have to do the training, but it's only for certain conditions, epilepsy being one of them. So for chronic pain, we don't have that indication yet, which is a bit sad because in other countries, they're using it.
Mm. Oh, all the best, Amanda, with your husband there. It's
How helpless would you feel?
It's a terrible life to be living in chronic pain. Peter in Kambucha, good morning.
Hi, Peter.
Good morning. I got a bit of a story.
Got a lot of calls, Peter, so if you could make it brief, please.
I'll try to be as quick as possible. When I was 10, I was training with the senior soccer team and I got hit in the side of the head, which caused me to have semi-concussion.
Yes.
I suffered migraines till one day I ran into my mate's dad.
Yes.
And he put my neck back in.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Cool. Yep.
And what was causing it all those years was, he said it was like a stick pushing against a spider web.
Sure.
Ah.
Peter, what you bring up is a very real issue in sport these days because we know now that concussions in children can have potentially serious ramifications as you get older. And it's terrific to see the sort of the sissy impression that wearing a helmet was not very smart.
Mm.
The jury's out as to whether it's beneficial, but I think it's starting to stack up that it's a bit like a safety belt. It's a precaution that's probably sensible. So let's wait and see what happens.
Yes, but we absolutely know that we need to be aware of head injuries much more in our sport these days.
And do you know what's happening now, Joe? Head injuries have been shown to influence the progression of chronic disease in the gut because there's that close connection. So you get a concussion and maybe your risk of some of the chronic gut diseases is higher.
Well, thank you so much for your story there, Peter, and good to know that there was some relief for you. Valerie in Thornsby Heights, good morning.
Hi, Valerie.
How she's sweet.
Hello, Valerie.
Yes, Valerie. Yes, I think we've got a couple of conversations coming.
I'm not sure Valerie is quite with us.
Valerie, you've got a great question. So you pop it on the computer to houseofwellness.com.au and there's an Ask tab and I'll respond to your question.
Absolutely. You can always reach Gerald on that particular website, houseofwellness.com.au and the Ask Gerald tab. It's a very useful tab, that one.
It is very useful. Now, I can't help domestic issues. That's not my, that is not my role, but I can normally point. I work very hard on keeping that up to date, and this has been a really busy week. So if you don't get a response within a day, don't panic. Mm. It is coming.
We'll have more of your calls next. Plus, A to Z of Vitamins is back with what is known as the Sunshine Vitamin. That's next on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Help support your infant's bone health and development with Ostalin Infant Vitamin D3 drops from Chemist Warehouse. Vitamin D3 is important for bone strength and helps to promote calcium absorption. Always read the label, follow the directions for use. Vitamin supplements may only be of assistance if dietary intake is inadequate. Ostalin Infant Vitamin D3 drops are now $11.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Seeing a GP just got easier with instant consult. Request a consult and connect with an Australian doctor in minutes. Download the app today.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Now, Gerald, we have had some gloriously sunny days, but we're not necessarily outside enjoying them, which means we may be deficient in vitamin D.
We talk about vitamin D a lot, Joe, and sometimes I think we take it for granted because it's in, we get vitamin D from eggs and from regular dairy, but they're not really common foods, are they? So there are some people who don't eat dairy, some people who never go outside. We know that D3, which is the D we use, is very important for bone strength, muscle strength. It's very important for calcium absorption and very good for immune function. So there are, the sad part is we just don't know what our levels are unless they're tested and you've got to ask for that. I think it's the sort of thing we need to be bearing in mind all the time as winter is here. Get your vitamin D levels checked. Find out whether a supplement's needed. And the experts are now saying it needs to be on the higher level of normal. We're learning a lot more about D3.
Yeah, I think you're so right, GQ. A supplement for vitamin D is so important because, as you mentioned, those foods are not necessarily ones we eat. Not everyone eats them. And also, you don't necessarily eat a lot of them. Things like fatty fishes, for example, certain kinds of mushrooms. So it's very hard to get enough vitamin D. So as you say, especially if you're not getting outdoors enough, it's important to get a supplement.
And what kind of indications would I have to know that I'm low in vitamin D3? How would I know that?
A tendency to fracture. A lot of women especially go along having perhaps back pain or something and there is a tiny fracture that's been found. They invariably are told that you're heading down the osteoporosis pathway. So for calcium absorption, very, very important. But also for immune function, if you find you're getting dribbling noses and things all the time, it's not a bad option right across the year to maintain your vitamin D3 level.
Well, the A to Z of Vitamins is brought to us by Ostalin, Australia's number one bone health brand. We love hearing from you on 131 873, and Gwen in Vaucluse has given us a call. Hi there, Gwen.
Hi, Gwen. Hello, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
How can we help, Gwen?
Look, 5 years ago, Gerald, I had a fall and broke my jaw in three places. And now I am really suffering. It's causing me on the right side, the cracking of the joint, jaw joint, and dreadful pain right from the lower part of the neck right up into the crown of the head.
Yeah.
And they've also said that I have suffered with sinus all year last year. And they said I had a polyp in the sinus.
It's all happening to you, Gwen, isn't it? Look, I've got a couple of thoughts, and the classic for you is magnesium, because when we sleep at night, we tend to clench our jaws, depending on what you're dreaming about. So magnesium, very important before you go to bed. Fish oil helps the structural integrity of that whole joint area and just adds a bit of anti-inflammatory action. And massage the outside of the area where the clicking's going on, Gwen. A couple of drops of whatever oil you want. Extra virgin olive oil is a good one, and you can drink a little as well. But rub it on the outside of your jaw, both sides, before you go to sleep as well to stop the clicking.
Great advice there. Thank you so much, Gerald. Now, we have a lot of opportunities to engage with the House of Wellness community today. There's a wonderful lift out that you do not want to miss.
That's the House of Wellness Plus Men's Health, Joe. It's about time we got a bit of, we blokes got a bit of a go.
No, absolutely. It's crucial that we shine a light on men's health and in this instance, particularly men's mental health.
Because it's so usually the ladies holding the spotlight to shine the light on our health, isn't it?
Well, it's important that we do so. So get your hands on that particular lift out. Also today, don't forget House of Wellness TV back on our screens at midday on Channel 7. Gut health is something that we are quite obsessed with, I must say.
Definitely.
Well, but for good reason, don't you think, Sal?
Completely. It all begins in the gut. So many of our issues that we have can be, they start in the gut, they can be fixed via the gut. Some of our, it's gut. And I think you're exactly right, rightly so, that we're obsessed with it.
So today on House of Wellness TV, an incredible story, and this happens to be Crohn's and Colitis Month, so it's timely. We're bringing a story around some cutting-edge technology that is changing lives from a leading Melbourne specialist. Also, fight MND time of year. It usually heading into the Queen's birthday weekend, we were able to be filling the MCG.
Yes.
And
maybe we could watch you in the big freeze slide one day, Joe.
Maybe, perhaps,
oh, yes.
But not this year. It is happening virtually, of course, because there's no crowds at the MCG. But you can still buy your Fight MND beanie.
If I'm
you go
wearing
to
mine, Joe. On the beach, I wear my
fightmnd.org, because this year they maintain the fight, of course, to end MND. And today on House of Wellness TV, we're joined by Bec Danaher, who is the daughter of Melbourne Football Club legend Neil Danaher, to find out how we can all contribute to that wonderful campaign. Also, Luke Hines, he is our food and fitness guru. He will be doing a live Insta this morning at Wellness Australia with Lunchbox Dad George Jevsky. And at 4 o'clock, Luke Hines is going to be giving us a live cooking lesson on Facebook. He's going to be cooking banana and raspberry bread. Delicious.
When's you going to do scones?
Scones? Mm. Do you have a healthy recipe for scones, Sal?
I could whip one up.
All right. What time, Sal? What time do I come around?
That's right. Coconut flour. Look, do you know what? I think occasionally it is fine. Not everything has to be ultra, ultra healthy. Scones are healthy. It's just flour and water, isn't it?
Yeah,
I could do a bit of stevia in there.
Settle.
Isn't the problem the giant pile of
jam and cream
that I put on?
Well, you can't have a scone on its own.
Isn't that the issue?
No.
Well, thank you so much, Sal. It's been great to have you.
Thanks, guys.
And make sure you check out houseofwellness.com.au and the Ask Gerald tab. Gerald, thank you
Joe.
Again.
And also, too, I've just finished Neil Danaher's book, A Good Read.
He's extraordinary. Very, very inspirational. For more ways to get well, stay well, live well and look fabulous, do check out houseofwellness.com.au. And thanks again to our friends at Chemist Warehouse. We'll see you all next week.